It's time!
Shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal, number 3, Chris Mason.
Are you ready?
We are ready. So are the Predators to get things cranked up again. Fourth and final hour, Darren Donick and Chase. Here on this Wednesday, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Predators in Washington, in the nation's capital, to take on Washington tonight. A 6 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you starting at 5 o'clock. Willie and our next guest, Chris Mason, who joins us every Wednesday at this time, and his crew will have their pregame coverage on Bally Sports starting at 5:30. See, Mace, did you have a good Christmas?
Had a great Christmas. That extra little day or two we got from the Dallas game cancellation,
yep,
was pretty nice, not going to lie. But I'm super excited to be back and looking forward to tonight's game, that's for sure. I'm ready.
76 degrees, by the way, on Christmas Day.
I know, right? Like, really?
Wasn't 76 in Red Deer, was it?
Oh, there's extreme cold warning there. It's minus 26. Minus 26 Fahrenheit. Good luck.
So tonight will be 12 days since the last time the Predators played, when that overtime win in Chicago. 7 straight wins. It's hard to predict, right, how this is going to play out, because you don't have, you know, an almost 2-week break in the middle of a season, which is the case here. And so what are you expecting? They've got some good news and a little bit of bad news. You got a lot of these players coming back, and unfortunately have some key players not in the lineup in Colton Sissons and Roman Josi. But what are you expecting tonight?
I don't know. You know, the one thing I really feel is, I listened to Philip Forsberg's media there today, and he said that he really likes how this team, no matter what the situation is, that they prepare the same way and they're consistent in their preparation. So with all these uncertainties, I guess the one thing that can stay consistent is the way that you prepare to play. So I thought, you know, to me that bodes well for a team that, you know, has that good preparation, not just one or two guys, but the entire team. The way that they play, I think, allows them, they've got that work ethic. They're going to be able to come back, and it might not be, you know, crystal clean in terms of the execution and maybe, you know, some of the detail work. But I feel the team that works the hardest in these games, because the games last night were kind of crazy and sloppy and looks like there was goals going in all over the place.
Yep.
Just from that rust, right? That's a long time to come back, and then you're playing games for points in the standings. But I feel this team I get a real sense that they have a real confidence about their group. And, you know, I talked to Dan Hino today, and he said the guys are just over the moon, excited to be back. And, you know, he just loves how hard this team plays for each other. So I feel that, you know, the biggest thing tonight will be to come out with that work ethic and that physicality to kind of set the tone, I think, for Washington.
Yeah, you know, when the Sharks and the Coyotes score 15 goals, that there's a little bit of rust.
Yes. That was crazy.
That was unbelievable.
Well, what was it? What's the over-under? It's always 5.5.
Well, it was over. It was
almost
over.
Almost always, yeah.
It went double. Can you bet double?
Triple. It would have been triple. Sometimes they're 5. I mean, here's where they are. Every game is 5, 5.5. You're right. 5.5 is the standard. But every once in a while, you'll get 6, like Toronto, Edmonton, Vegas, or certain Colorado. Their teams, they'll get 6s. And then sometimes you'll see 5s, but it didn't matter. I mean, I guess depending on which one it was, you could have been triple the over. Yeah.
That's nuts. It's nuts. But that's the one thing that I feel this, you know, you never know how the game's going to go, but I feel this team really, you know, gives himself a good chance not to get in those kind of situations. Having said that, you're playing against one of the best goal scorers to ever play the game, so anything can happen. But I really feel that this team feels confident about coming back from the break.
Okay, let's go there then. How do you approach, You know, by the way, you know what he's going to do a lot of the times. I mean, the bulk of his career, I would love to know from the left circle how many career goals he has just camping out over there roasting marshmallows and then one time in it for a goal. How do you prepare for that as a goalie, or can you?
You know, you just obviously they've got so many skilled players, and the skill that they have on their power play allows him, you know, to get a lot of those opportunities because they have so many other threats. But I think, you know, for a goaltender in particular on the power play, I think you have to be aware of patterns. And, you know, they do a lot of video. And I know from back in my day that you would see plays being set up on the power play. And eventually, you know, that let's say somebody gets it in front of the net or the side of the net, there's going to be a couple options. Either he's going to try to jam it to the net, or they're going to find a way to get that over to Ovechkin. And I think the ability to recognize when those are in the process of the player that has the puck's options, and always knowing that you have that big right-handed that boom over there on the other side. So, but, you know, that's easier said than done. Like you said, everybody knows what he's going to do and how he does it, but they can't stop him because he's so good. So it'll be a big challenge for them to slow him down.
We had an interesting conversation in the second hour of the show today and got some feedback from the listeners, got some calls and some text. Just like what everybody thought of, you know, what are your impressions of Peter Laviolette's time here? You know, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. It depends on who you ask, which is interesting, right? It's different than Barry Trotz when he was here. But just kind of wanted to get a feel of, you know, what people thought of his tenure, his time here in Nashville. Of course, the Predators going up against Washington and Peter Laviolette tonight. And it'll be interesting when Washington comes here. But I'll just ask you what we were talking about the second hour. How would you describe Peter's time here?
Well, I think he was awesome. I mean, obviously, I don't think he, you know, does himself maybe many favors in the media just because he's kind of closed off a little bit and he's very serious. And that's his personality. You know, he's all business, which is fine. I think that's why you get some of the mixed reviews in that regard. But I think he was necessary for this organization to take the next step. Obviously, you get to the Cup Finals with Peter Laviolette. You win a President's Trophy under Peter Laviolette. I feel that he really took this organization's expectations to the next level. You know, he instilled a different mindset. You know, he plays a lot different than, you know, in quotation, the Predator way or that tight defensive type of play. But the team that he had, he was very successful with letting them attack more and, you know, generate shot attempts was a big one of his and create offense. And they scored a lot of goals in those years. So I think he was an essential part of this organization's growth. I mean, the leadership group that you have now, you know, kind of flourished and grew under Peter Laviolette. So I think he had a great tenure, and his wife Kristen was such a big part of the community. They really embraced Nashville and went all in, and you know, he just had a terrific family. And I think he was, you know, he had a great few years in Nashville, no doubt about it.
I really feel like as time goes on, it'll be more and more appreciated when you look at six seasons: 248, 143, and 60.
Yeah.
Two Central Division championships, obviously the Western Conference championship, a President's Trophy in there. You heard David Poile on our show the other day say the highest of heights, you know, for the franchise. There's no way around that. And I like you said, Mace, we know he's not the warm and fuzzy kind of guy that connects easily with the media and the fans, but there was a ton of success in there. And I do think in time, I think the guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame as a coach. He's the third leading active coach in wins. He's the all-time leading winner in American-born coaches. So, I mean, he's got the credentials. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And I feel that, you know, a lot of his effectiveness, he's known as a great motivator. He comes in and he can really get, you know, a lot out of his team. But, you know, like any coach in sports, there's a shelf life, and there's a, you know, a point in time where maybe that doesn't quite have the effect or impact that it did in the first couple of years when the coach gets there. So no matter how much success you have, eventually in that line of work, eventually it's going to come to an end. But I agree with you, Willie. It's the success he had there was some of the best in team history. And obviously, you know, the highest of the high, like you said, those 2 years back-to-back and the success he did. I really think that he changed the landscape of expectations for this organization and took it to a different level.
Mesa, I feel like I should peek out of my door. I feel like I can hear you down
know,
the hall.
Right?
You're a couple rooms down. We're only a couple rooms down from each other just to get the visual for those listening here at the hotel in Washington. We've been cooped up here since we got here. This is how we roll right now. You can't leave the hotel. But, Mace, we had some fun this morning, and I would invite people to watch tonight. You have a history. You know, you and Hal Gill were kind of reminiscing this morning about the history of Ovechkin. First off, though, we're talking about a chase for a record here, which resembles, you know, Cal Ripken catching Lou Gehrig, or, you know, people catch Hank Aaron catching Babe Ruth back in the day. People thought there's no way that a Wayne Gretzky record that he has held would ever be reachable. But Alex Ovechkin can reach it.
He's going to reach him. And you know, the great one himself, Wayne Gretzky, came out, you know, the last week here and just said he's going to do it. I'm sure of it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And he said it's good for the game. And it is crazy. It's one of those records, you're right, Willie, where at one point everybody thought there's no way, there's no chance anybody's going to break that record. And, you know, because you do the projection, the age of Alexander Ovechkin, and this, like, look at the start he's off to this year. And, you know, he's getting up there, but he plays the game so hard, and he is maybe one of the purest goal scorers to ever play the game. And, you know, for us to be, you know, a part of this, you know, for everybody, a hockey fan, to be part of maybe one of the most prolific records in sports to potentially be broken, it's pretty special and says a lot about, you know, we're talking about that too, Willie, about the way that he does it. You know, he's not just a finesse, fancy, you know, kind of a player that gets his points on the power play, and he's a bull. He runs guys over. He's physical. He's a big beast of a player, and that wear, you know, that takes wear and tear on your body over the years. And for him to be able to still have the kind of production that he's having, it's elite superstar production at his age. And, you know, we're going to probably witness that record be broke. I think he's only 140 or something, 142 away from tying that. So, yeah, I mean, if he keeps even anything close to the level of production that he's putting up right now, he's going to do it here probably in the next 4 years.
All right, let's pick up on the physical part of it. Jacob Underwood from our staff, we're putting together all these numbers for tonight. They've only kept hits going as an official stat going back a certain amount of the way. So we don't know how he compares to, say, a Gordie Howe. The game evolves, but here's the point. Nobody has anywhere close to as many as hits and goals, the combination of the two, as Alex Ovechkin. And you and Hal Gill were talking about how you were impacted personally by some hits by Alex Ovechkin. Tell your story, because we're actually going to see the clip tonight on the broadcast, which is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I think Skillsy and I are going to put on our we got ran over by Alex Ovechkin, and all we got were these lousy T-shirts tonight. So. No, he's an absolute beast, and I laughed, and, you know, Skillsy laughed too, probably, you know, misery loves company. When I saw Skillsy gets blown up right in front of the net, goes flying, and Ovechkin goes flying, and somehow knocks the puck in the net and gets a goal. And Skillsy, you see his head poke up. He looks like a little gopher popping out of the gopher hole going, what? How does that count? I guess, you know, he just got ran over, and Ovechkin runs me over. He's coming in on a breakaway, and my defenseman and them get tangled. He just absolutely blows me right into the net. And I remember having to call it's the hardest I've ever been hit. I had to ask the referee to stay with me because I could only see out of one eye, and I couldn't see past the blue line. So I couldn't see. It was crazy. So I'm like, hey, that's kind of scary when, you know, you think about it and look back, but it cleared up. But I just never, you know, experienced somebody hitting that hard. And he's just, you're right. He's just, there's nobody else that scores like he does and plays the game with that physicality that he does. He's one of a kind.
No doubt. So last thing for you, Mace, as we look at this thing tonight, Roman Josi on the COVID list, you get a lot of key players back, but the thing we talked to John Hines about today, he said, you know, you cannot replace Roman Josi on your roster. There's just no way to do it. Nobody does the things that he does out there. But he did have sort of an angle on how you try to go about it. And that'll be the challenge, at least for tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be. And, you know, instead of, you know, because I feel like one of the toughest things, you know, when you come back and there's that rust is your ability to get the puck moving out of your zone and to get some transition going up the other way. And obviously, you know, you put the puck in Josi's hands and, you know, he can do that single-handedly a lot of times. So to me, that's going to be a huge point of emphasis, I think, is for the defenseman to be able to move the puck efficiently out of the zone, but also the forwards coming back and helping out even more in the defensive zone to, you know, strong on the walls, making sure when you get that opportunity, pucks aren't going into the middle of the ice. You're getting it out of the, you know, over the blue line and you're able to kind of create a transition that way instead of maybe, I guess, the more graceful and easier way for the rest of the team when Josi just grabs it and skates it out. So it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be one of those games that if I'm the Nashville Predators, it's going to be all right. We got to play a greasy road game. You know, there's no Josi. Sissons was obviously incredible before the break and had a couple huge games, you know, where he stepped up and carried the mail for the team. And obviously Roman Josi did as well. So those are a couple big pieces that they're going to have to play without. But again, we were saying before the break, this team just seems to thrive in this adversity. They almost welcome it. And I think that's a really, you know, good characteristic of a team that, you know, can be consistent and continue to win. But they will have their challenges because they're playing against a team that can score, you know, and Coach Laviolette was a high pressure offensive coach. And they attack it in the offensive zone and they've got a lot of skill. So it's going to be easier said than done. And they're going to have to rely on the whole roster to be able to chip in defensively.
Mace, good stuff. Thanks for joining us. Take advantage of this last time here. Get your little snooze, whatever you do on your game day routine, and I'll see you on the bus.
All right, guys. Thanks. Take care. See ya.
All right, Chris Mason, down the hall here at the JW Marriott. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. We'll see what Mike Vrabel has to say today on their front. If you missed what's going on with the Predators, they've won 7 in a row. They get everybody back that they were missing before, but they lose on the COVID list Roman Josi, Colton Sissons, and Tommy Novak. For Washington, it looks like there's a chance that they get TJ Oshie back. They also will get Evgeny Kuznetsov back, plus Nicholas Backstrom. Three huge forwards in their top six that have been out likely are going to be back. They are missing 3 of their top 6D, although their top pair is in there. So everybody dealing with it, that's sort of the layout tonight for the Predators and the Capitals. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Don't forget to go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, great deal. Downtown Dollars, $150 digital gift card for $100. The gift card is redeemable at hundreds of downtown Nashville shops, restaurants, and more. With Downtown Dollars, you can get more to spend at your old favorite places, or you can discover some new destinations downtown. As we know, that continues to grow. Also, end-of-the-year blowout, save 75% off Bad Axe Throwing, Nashville gift cards, Nashville Armory, Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop. Check out other deals from Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl, Seafood Sensation, and more. All you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com/deals. Let's do this. In honor of the Predators' 7-game winning streak, let's give away a pair of tickets. Caller 7 right now. Caller 7 at 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. We've got tickets, a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena on Friday night, February 25th. So in honor of the Predators' 7-game winning streak, lucky caller 7 right now. And Elijah, if you're lucky caller 7, Elijah will tell you, congrats. You're going to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone on Friday, February 25th. Right now, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel today spoke with the media in lieu of their game Sunday at Nissan Stadium against the Dolphins. It'll be the final home regular season game. And this Mike Vrabel press conference sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction, equipment, or fleet maintenance. You can call them at 615-663-6040. Here's the head coach.
You know, I personally very saddened, disappointed. You know, Coach Madden was, you know, I got to be a part of this small subcommittee just for a brief amount of time. And he would always send text messages of encouragement. And I found that to be really refreshing, helped me personally, you know, after losses or things that you second guess. I would also say that something that was extremely important to him was the care that the former players received. And that was a huge mission of his through that subcommittee, was finding ways to make the game better but safer, and also continue to take care of those former players, because he loved his players, and that was evident in the way that they played for him. So, you know, hopefully we can carry on that legacy that he had of trying to take care of, you know, those former players that he loved so dearly.
Mike, with the changes in the COVID protocols, do you do anything different to maybe protect a quarterback or something as you go into these?
Well, we're hopeful that what we have set up, you know, the setup that we have in the bubble and the distance, we're asking everybody to wear masks inside, and everybody's very conscious of it. You know, we're very aware of what's going on. Appreciate everybody working together as a team, from our training staff, our medical staff, our players, coaches, you know, just to try to do everything that's right for this football team.
So are you approaching it like how you did before, as far as like a quarantine quarterback setup?
No, I mean they're here in the building, but I mean, again, we've got ample space now. You know, I mean, we've got, you know, the bubble. You know, that's a great setup in there. You know, we have a massive team meeting room, you know, that you have just a few people in. And so we're very conscious of making sure that everybody is more than adequately spaced out.
From your time with him, and then what have you thought about his teams and the way they play?
Well, obviously, B-Flow, you kind of know right away, and you try to reflect upon, you know, when you first come in contact with different people. And again, Jim, you've been in this league longer than I have, or been around it, and everything comes full circle, you know. And, you know, B-Flow started as a, you know, a scouting assistant, and, you know, then he'd helped on special teams, and you know, so he was around. We knew him. He was young. He was smart. Could recognize early on that he was going to have a bright future in coaching, and in his teams reflect, you know, a lot of those things that we learned when I was a player in New England, and he was a coach or in scouting there. So, you know, they rarely beat themselves. They're very good defensively. They're very good technique. When you watch and you study the technique, those are all things that you know, we believe in here.
About Tua as a shorter guy, that allows him to avoid getting balls batted down the line. I think one defensive lineman's batted down a ball.
We've been trying to study it ourselves, Paul. And I think that he climbs the pocket. I think he is quick. And I think that our quarterback coach would call it twitchy. I think he's very twitchy to be able to redirect, and he's got a quick release. Maybe guys are matching with the wrong hand, and you know, I mean, he's left-handed. So that was my theory. I don't know if that's going to hold true, but. You know, we'll have to practice that, you know, where you're normally matching with the other hand as the ball's traveling through. But he does a really nice job of climbing the pocket and finding those throwing lanes.
How are they able to get so much pressure without having to blitz? Or what do you make?
Well, they do blitz. They do indeed blitz. But you know, they're disruptive. You know, they play the run and then transition quickly. You know, obviously the edge guys, Ogba, Phillips, because those are guys that are tough to handle. They're long, they're fast. You know, they'll bring, you know, Baker. You know, they'll bring, you know, Jones. And you know, they do a great job, obviously, in coverage with the guys they have, you know, with Howard and Jones out there, really just playing sound, square, physical. You know, it's, you know, we have to be careful when we throw it their direction.
Your love for Ryan, the kind of the toughness he embodies, as he faces his old team, I guess, how would you maybe assess the impact he's had on this franchise on and off the field since he kind of first arrived? In
well, I mean, I think the focus is on this week. The focus is on the Dolphins. That, you know, the reflection, you know, we want Ryan to be our quarterback for a long time. And so, you know, I know he's focused on this week. That's where my focus is. That's where our football team's focus has to be, is how are we going to, you know, be able to, you know, execute the keys and taking care of the football, you know, converting on third down, recognizing pressure, being able to pick up guys from all over the place. How are we going to be able to execute our first and second down offense? So, you know, that's what Ryan's focus is on, and that's where my focus is.
Dane's skill set so good when you guys go with those tight end packages, and kind of how was that idea born, I guess?
Well, I think Dane, you know, when John and I evaluated Dane, you know, he was a big guy that played multiple positions in college, didn't stick at one for very long, probably out of necessity. He played nickel, he played boundary corner, you know, and we felt like, you know, he could be you know, a good special teams player, very good special teams player. He's fast. He was big. He's strong, and you know, wasn't afraid of contact. And you know, we've seen him, you know, do a nice job for us on special teams. And then, the more that we wanted to try to give him a role and develop him more as a safety, then you know, things happen. You know, the injuries have happened, and you know, so when he's there and he's available, we just, you know, try to give him everything that he can handle, and that we felt like in those particular games, that was something that his skill set allowed for, and you know, it was a good role for him to execute. We'll see where it is this week.
Waddle is a dangerous weapon for them, other than the fact they line him up all over the place. He's involved in the return game.
Well, he's got explosive speed, so I think you have to honor that. I think he's a decisive route runner. I think that he adjusts to the ball well. You know, for somebody that, you know, isn't like maybe the length of Gesicki. You know, he can go, you know, from full speed to be able to throttle down and come back and try to make the quarterback right. I don't see him fighting the football at all. They ask a lot of him. You know, they move him around and, you know, week to week. So that's a credit to him to be able to study and to prepare and to get, you know, get lined up in different spots. I know how difficult that can be for any player, especially a young one.
Swarming into this new gear the last couple weeks?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think I thought initially that the rest, you know, I mean, I do. I think that some of these guys that have played, you know, I mean, Kevin Byard's played a lot of snaps for us. Harold's played a lot of snaps. Jeff's played a lot of snaps, right? So, you know, maybe a combination of getting some guys back, a combination of being sure and understanding and actually seeing that this kind of does work. You know what I mean? Instead of being an innocent bystander, we had some of those on, you know, Thursday, where you can't count on any one guy making a tackle in this league. These players are too good, too explosive, too strong with the football. So, you know, we have to continue to work that. We have to continue to preach it and show them, you know, what it looks like when it's done properly. You know, and that's just really how you should play defensive football.
Naquan Jones, that's kind of shown you what kind of impact he's been able to make over the last few games.
The first thing is he plays hard. That was the first determining fact. That was his redeeming quality, is he played hard. He ran his fat ass to the ball, and that's what he did. And so that gave him more opportunity. And then he started to work on technique and understanding of what was going on, and just continued, you know, to improve. So that would be the first thing, is that he ran to the ball, and that was what noticed, you know, got him noticed.
Mike, on Monday, I think Flores said that when he started, I think as an assistant there in New England, that you almost coached him more than he was coaching you. What do you remember of
that? Not much, but I know that was, I'm sure, tongue in cheek. Brian is very intelligent. I have, continued to bounce ideas off of him, even though we're obviously competitors. But, in the off season, there's things that, there's guys that you trust in this league, and I would say that B-Flow would be one of those guys that I would certainly trust and call a friend.
Haven't been one of the defensive players that got the opportunity to catch touchdowns. What do you think of Christian Fulton?
Wilkins. Yeah. I actually go back with Christian. Was at his school and in high school, and so we've actually stayed in contact. And he'll send me random texts, or I'll text him in the off season because he's recruiting defensive linemen for Ohio State. So. And he went to school outside of Boston and, Connecticut. And he's very athletic, and that doesn't surprise me at all that they ask him to do that role. He's really good transitioning in the pass rush inside. He runs games. He can penetrate, and he also, can execute whatever they're asking him to do up front as well.
Off the COVID list to practice today.
Taylor Lewan is back and expected to be at practice.
About December football, and now we're reaching the two final games in the regular season. What have you liked the most out of the second half of the season? And considering you have had some guys back, it probably has made it a little bit easier. But just the rallying of this group just continues to have that mindset.
I think they come in. I think that there's a consistency. Obviously there's things that we have to take care of the football. I think that's been the biggest thing. We can all clearly see that. But I think that there's been a resolve to really say, we want to just now start our season, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. We're 2-1 at that point in time. I would imagine that David will, try to get some work in. We'll see. On a limited basis, I would imagine.
Jeff's tied for the lead tackles amongst defensive linemen. What's that mean when a defensive lineman's getting to the
ball? I think the first thing you try to ask those guys to do is to make the plays that they're supposed to make. I always enjoy, defensive linemen making tackles, but what you don't want them to do is sit there and play peekaboo where, they're in the B gap, they're in the A gap, they're in the B gap, and the guys behind them don't know where they're going to be. So, I think that's the first thing that we want him to do, which he does, and then he runs the football and he chases the football and extremely hard. I think that's something he takes pride in.
Within that, he has 40. I think it's like 40 solo tackles. This seems like a high number for a defensive tackle. What is behind it? Is that?
I think some of the technique. I really think some of the technique. I think that there's no secret that. There's going to be some holding that goes on the interior of the offensive line, and so, which is fine. We all understand that. But when Jeff plays with technique, that gives him extension and separation, and allows him to shed and not get grabbed or tied up as the running back's going through. So, I think that's been the biggest thing in his, just this season, and something I've recognized. It hasn't been like he's played any harder. It's just that he is. Playing with good technique and playing with his hands.
Out of David Kessenberry this year for you guys at right tackle, how has he kind of handled that spot?
Well, he battles, he competes. He's been there every, his availability and durability, has been something that I always admire. He battles, not without mistake like everybody else. But he's been very steady for us, and we got to continue to find ways to help him against premier rushers.
There you go, Mike Vrabel today talking to the media, getting ready for their game against the Dolphins going into Week 17 at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. That press conference sponsored by Tire Man for all your company tire needs. Construction equipment or fleet maintenance, you can give them a call at 615 663
60-40. Congratulations to Ian McAllister. Ian was lucky caller 7. It does pay to listen to this show because Ian was listening and was prompted to call in, and he's won tickets to go see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena. We'll come back and wrap up Wednesday's edition of the DDC next. Darren McFarland here in Nashville. Willie Donick in Washington. Preds and Capitals tonight at 6 o'clock. Anything? I mean, there was a lot to take away from Mike Vrabel. One, he was pretty talkative today here on this Wednesday. Pretty good mood. Pretty talkative.
Well, I love the story about John Madden. Everybody's got,
yep,
in their own mind, you know, where John Madden falls for you. It's hard to find somebody now that's of a certain age that wasn't heavily influenced as a football fan, coach, player, media person, whatever, by John Madden. So I loved hearing his perspective. I loved hearing Kevin Harlan's perspective. Those two had firsthand interaction with him. He just sounds like a guy that you wanted to be around. You know, for you and I, Darren, it was just watching him and enjoying all those things. I reminisced this morning. I wanted to go back and listen to a game, or at least part of a game that he did with Pat Summerall, just to kind of hear that, what that sounded like back in the day. It was such a familiar thing. So I thought that was cool. Maybe that set Mike Vrabel in the tone of being a little talkative, but I thought there were some really good questions today. I love the exploration of, you know, Tua, mm-hmm, not being a guy that's getting a lot of passes batted down. You know, what's making them successful? Obviously, from a news standpoint, the speculation that Taylor Lewan and David Long might be progressing towards playing, that's important news for sure.
Yeah. Well, I took Taylor Lewan. Definitely feel pretty good about that one. I'm not sure about David Long. I think he just said, what, just practicing this week? I mean, that's a step, yeah, in the right direction.
But and a lot of times, though, he would not offer anything. I think, yeah, the fact that he is offering something that makes you believe that there's reason for some optimism. And, of course, with Jayon Brown going on the protocols, it might be great timing to get Long back, because that's Long's specialty, of course, he's turned into a great all-around player, but his mobility is so important. And that's really what Jayon Brown does in the defense. He's the guy that comes in to cover people. So if you don't have him, it certainly would be nice to have Long. Because Zach Cunningham is your run-stopping expert there.
Right. Who was he talking about? Was it Naquan Jones?
Yeah.
Is that
moves
who he's
his bleep to the ball? Yeah.
It's good when he moves, yeah, his fat.
That was great. But he's such a great find. You gotta love those guys. And that has made up for, you know, what is a big narrative for this team. Missing on high picks. They have balanced it out by finding guys like Naquan Jones, who are a force. It's been really nice to see what they've gotten out of him.
Yeah. He is they haven't had I shouldn't say they haven't had a ton of luck, but they've gone through their fair share of Joneses, right?
Well, we had fun as they were nearing and then breaking the record. Keeping up with the Joneses. There were so many Joneses. There was one random guy, Jim Jones or whatever, who showed up for a game, and we were like, there's another one. You know, Julio and there's so many of them. But that guy, he looks like a keeper, Naquan. Yeah. After, of course, last year having Daquan, not to be confused with him. It's basically the same position.
Who they didn't keep.
Right. Nutty.
And then they had the other Jones, remember? Who was the other Jones that they not and I know they have Julio.
They have the defensive back, Chris Jones, not to be confused with Cousins.
But there was another defensive lineman Jones, wasn't there?
Probably. Yeah. Well, that was our whole bit, keeping, yeah, up with the Joneses.
I know.
It's hard to keep up with all of them.
Yeah. So, by the way, their COVID list is pretty extensive, but we'll see if they can get some of these guys back. It's an interesting game.
I thought it was noteworthy how, remember, they have expanded the space there. You know, with the new add-ons, and he was talking about how that has helped them keep people separated.
Yep.
so that when they're in the facility, I don't know what the studies show of when the guys are getting it. Are they getting it from a teammate more often than not? Is it in the locker room? Is it during the game? Is it just in everyday life that they're getting it? It doesn't really matter, but if I'm a coach, I would want to know that if I could, and make sure that what I'm doing with the guys in the facility is keeping them as out of the way as possible.
That will do it for us today here on this Wednesday. Tomorrow we'll be at Nissan Stadium, getting you ready for the Transperfect Music City Bowl. Tennessee and Purdue, they are expecting a big crowd on hand, which should have some pretty good weather, I think, from what I can tell, for tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.